We'll switch gears now and talk with an international superstar in the world of ecology and animal behavior. Jane Goodall is a groundbreaking primatologist and a pioneer among women scientists. She brought the world of chimpanzees to us and has worked for decades to raise awareness of issues that threaten animals' futures. She turns 84 next month and still travels 300 days a year to raise awareness about the plight of chimps and the natural world. Jane Goodall was in the Twin Cities last weekend for a few events around town, including a sold-out speech at the Northrop Auditorium at the University of Minnesota. Here's how she opened that lecture.
Thank you for a wonderful welcome. And you deserve a wonderful welcome in return. A welcome that you would hear if you came with me to Gombe National Park, climb up in the hills in the morning, and if you're lucky, you hear the chimpanzee greeting the day. This is me. This is Jane.
Before her speech on Friday, Jane Goodall sat down with our own Tom Weber.
When you fundamentally reflect on the work you've done, the challenges that still remain and that you've seen in these kinds of conservation work, what's the thing that we just haven't seemed to learn yet?
I think it's very difficult for people to realize, and this is where I talk with economists all the time, how can we have unlimited economic development on a planet with finite natural resources? And we have to find other ways of doing things. Otherwise, you know, we're just going to completely destroy the environment. We're moving in that direction very fast.
What was the moment you had that when you were doing work on chimpanzees in Tanzania to then say, I need to broaden out. I need to be speaking not just about chimpanzees, but about all ecology, all the environment. Do you remember when that happened?
Absolutely. There was a conference in Chicago, and for the first time, we brought together all the different people studying chimps. There were, I think, seven different field sites across Africa. And we had a session on conservation that was truly shocking. Like, everywhere chimp numbers going, beginning of the bushmeat trade, the live animal trade, shooting mothers to take babies, destroying the environment with either the local people increasing in numbers or logging companies and mining companies coming in from outside. And then we had a session on conditions of chimps in medical research. Our closest relatives in 5-foot by 5-foot cages, maybe for 40 years. And it was like I went to that conference as a scientist and I left as an activist. And since that October 1986, I haven't been in one place more than 3 weeks consecutively. And that's rare.
And just with through all that work, through all the efforts you have, Shoots and Roots, the Goodall Institute, what still worries you about whether we're going to be able to arrest these problems?
The fact that we're not doing very well, and politicians in many different countries are undermining conservation efforts, turning back legislation that was put in place to protect the environment. That's certainly true in this country. It's true in the UK as well. And so this is why I work so hard to develop our youth program, because it's young people who, if they understand the problems that we face and we empower them to take action and we listen to their voices, you know, they're very... They become extremely determined. They become very filled with ideas, and they're taking action. They're rolling up their sleeves. They're going out. They're cleaning streams. They're picking up litter. They're taking part in campaigns against climate change. They're changing the way their parents and their grandparents think. And because our youth program, Jane Goodall's Roots and Shoots, is now in 100 countries, with about 150,000 active groups and all the people who've been through it, because it began in 91. This is a force for change. So as you and I speak now, there are groups out there in different parts of the world actually making a difference.
what insight do you have then about specifically what is happening in politics here in the U.S. and how what effect that might have on even the programs you're overseeing?
Well, there's danger that funds will be cut for U.S. aid, and we rely quite heavily in Tanzania on U.S. aid, USAID. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, within this country, we have roots and shoots right across the country. And I wanted to study all animals. I don't care only about chimpanzees. I care about grizzly bears. I care about wolves. I care about mountain lion. And look what's happening with efforts to delist the grizzly bear when it's just beginning to come back. It isn't yet stable. But now we want to delist it so that hunters can go and shoot it. And all this talk about, well, we are helping conservation overseas because it's really good for rich Americans to go and shoot lions, elephants, rhinos as trophies to stick their heads on the wall. This is providing money for conservation in the developing world, but sorry, very little money gets to conservation.
And yet one of the themes you're here tonight to speak about, and I presume you say this to audiences everywhere, is that there is hope and that you are here tonight to offer hope. What is it that you're about to turn 84 that keeps you hopeful?
Well, there are five main reasons. First of all, it's because of our Roots and Shoots program. Because, you know, young people, when they understand the problem and we empower them to take action, they are so committed, so dedicated, so filled with energy that they are changing the world, even as we speak, as I said. Secondly, this amazing brain. It's the development of our intellect that makes us differ more than anything else from chimpanzees and other sentient beings on the planet. So isn't it bizarre that the most intellectual creature to ever walk the planet is destroying its only home? But at the same time, because of the intellect, all kinds of technologies are being developed to enable us to live in better harmony with the planet, and in our own individual lives, we can try and leave a light ecological footprint each day. And thirdly, the resilience of nature. Like at one time around my little Gombe National Park in Tanzania, it was part of a forest. 10 years later, it was a little oasis of forest surrounded by bare hills. That's when I realized if we don't help the people, the local people, who are struggling to survive, we can't even try to help the chimps. So we began our Take Care Takari program and worked with the local people. And now you don't see bare hills around Gombe. The trees have come back. And this program is now in 6 other African countries. And there's not time to describe it, but it's very holistic. And it's empowering the people. They've become our partners in conservation. The trees have come back around Gombe so that animal species on the brink of extinction have been given another chance. And then there's the power of social media. Through social media, for the very first time, we can bring together the voices of people around the world who care about a specific issue, like the poaching of rhinos, the poaching of elephants, climate change. And as more and more and more people can be brought together around an issue, so the power of collective voice gets greater. And then finally, the indomitable human spirit, the people who tackle the impossible and won't give up.
What would you say, on a slightly different topic, to young girls especially who love animals and love nature and want to go into science? Science is still can be rough and tumble for women. What do you say? And I know you do say this to young girls. What is your message?
Well, it's a double message, really. The first one is, and this is just slightly older, like, you know, high school. Mm-hmm. You've got to really want to do it because it's tough out there. It's hard to get the funding. But for a young child, including boys as well as girls, actually, it's simply the message my mother gave to me. If you really want to do something, then you're going to have to work hard, take advantage of opportunity, and don't give up.
The material you have here from the Goodall Institute, the brochures that are being handed out, note that in 1900 there were 1 million chimps. We're down to 250,000. Are we going to do it? Are humans going to save the chimpanzee, or are they going to go extinct? What is your best guess?
I'm pretty sure they won't go extinct, because we have to realize to save the chimp, we have to save the rainforest. And once people understand the enormous value to climate change, for example, of protecting the rainforest, and what's going to happen if we don't, if we go on destroying the rainforest so fast, and by protecting the rainforest, which is mitigating climate change all the time, that's the only way we can save the chimps. So I have to say the chimps will not become extinct.
That's very definitive. You're about to turn 84. Do you find yourself speeding up, going faster, or slowing down in any way?
Speeding up, because the older you get, the less time you have. I don't know how much time I have, but I have a message to take around the planet, you know. So 300 days a year I'm on the road. And we have, as I say, roots and shoots in 100 countries. And, well, the days are getting less, and it's more important that I reach those people out there. And I wouldn't do it if it didn't make a difference. But I can't begin to tell you the number of people who've said, you've given me hope. I will play my part. I'll do my bit.
That's renowned primatologist Jane Goodall speaking with NPR's Tom Weber. She was in town over the weekend for a handful of events, including a speech at the University of Minnesota.